Well, a special word of thanks to Bart for using not only his knowledge and abilities as a medical doctor, but as a Bible student to prepare this presentation, which we think is very significant, very important, an extremely meaningful discussion that we need to have to understand our own ethical conduct as servants of Jesus Christ and to influence our world for good. And so we'll open up for questions now from brothers who are present. If you'll raise your hand, we'll get the microphone to you. Please stand and talk into the microphone, although it does not affect the speakers in the building. It affects the recording. So please hold the microphone up to your face and speak into it when that time comes. While some of you may be formulating a question, I'm going to begin here with one. Thank you very much first, of course. And I am curious about that coronavirus slide.
It's out of order, so I'll go back to it. I meant to have this in the Q&A, and it somehow got stuck in the wrong place today. It was an error. I just wanted to, comparison's sake, number of deaths from coronavirus, 49, 47, in the same time period, worldwide, 8 million babies.
It is so difficult not to become numb to abortion, because most of us have no idea what can be done to do anything about it. Though I think if we think about it, we realize it's worse than the Holocaust, it's worse than anything else that's ever happened in history, and worse as far as a crisis goes than any disease that has ever affected humanity. So that being said, this question regards abortion and regards something that's extremely significant, meaningful, I think, and as a married person, I have this question, I've had it for a long time. Are there contraceptives or birth control practices that are actually abortifacients or cause abortions? And if so, what are they?
I was afraid you led with this question. I've been scared of this question for a while. All right, well, an abortifacient is, I was ready for this. An abortifacient is a drug that causes an abortion. And then this is the uterus here and the fallopian tube and the ovary. And I'm sure you're all aware of how life begins. Every month, the woman releases an egg. It passes into the fallopian tube, which has little fingers that draw it in. It's a completely amazing thing. And then it meets up with the sperm, which enter in, pass through the fallopian tube. And most of the time, fertilization occurs here in what's called the ampulla of the fallopian tube. And then the egg passes down, it floats down the fallopian tube into the uterus, and then implants around day 6 or day 7 into the wall of the uterus. Here's a little cartoon of the zygote dividing into 2, dividing into 4, dividing into 8, into 16. Now it's a morula, a blastocyst, and there it is. It's gone down the fallopian tube and it's implanting in the wall of the uterus. And so does anything interfere with that? And emergency contraception within a 12-hour period, take a massive dose of a oral contraceptive pill. It's like a 4 times the normal dose. As with all things, there's some debate about it. It acts in either one or two ways, but preventing ovulation. So maybe the woman hasn't ovulated yet, so it might prevent ovulation. But it can interfere with implantation if the ovulation and fertilization has already occurred. This author said that is an abortifacient. Obviously, we're stopping that fertilized zygote from implanting in the wall of the uterus and forming a placenta. So emergency contraception is that way. Let's go to the IUD next. The IUD is something that can be implanted inside the uterus. It's a plastic or a metal copper T-shaped device, and it's implanted in the uterus. And most of the time, it works by preventing the sperm from making it to the egg. But this is from I went to the page for this particular IUD, pulled this image off of the maker of this IUD. They say it works to prevent sperm from reaching the egg and fertilizing it, and also, it may prevent implantation. The truth is, they don't know. And then Dr. Carolyn Alexander, who's a California Reproductive Center doctor, says this situation of preventing of implantation is theoretically possible, but extremely rare. All right, so emergency contraception, IUD. The tough question is, what about regular contraception? The evidence is inconclusive. with combined oral contraceptives, COCs, whether they're abortifacients, the evidence is inconclusive. This was 2006, by the way. I haven't found any later papers. Professional organizations have been unable to reach a consensus. The American Association of Pro-Life, OB-GYNs, said, we don't know, our knowledge is incomplete. Christian Medical Dental Association, it cannot be resolved. So, the answer is, yes, there are contraception devices and forms that definitely cause the abortion of a fertilized egg. Do regular hormones, that the low-dose contraceptive pill that women take, does that? And the answer is, we don't know. So it is a very, and I've been dreading this discussion because it's a very sensitive issue. I think most of the time, the vast majority of the time, the ovaries they're shut down, and so ovulation does not occur. But can you say 100% without chance of error that it's regular contraception is not an abortifacient? And the answer is, even the top scientists don't know, and I certainly don't, because it's not my area of study. And it's difficult to study anyway. How do you study this kind of thing? How do you know if this is occurring? So I think then the best thing to do is, if you're going to use oral contraception, also use a barrier method.
Thank you.
That's just my opinion.
All right. Any questions? We'll go to Roger Boone.
Thank you very much, Bart. I appreciate your talk and the candor which you talked about. I have a question, and it's a serious question for me. Someday I'm going to die. I hope it's a natural death. I hope we all die natural death. And I don't think that, I hope no one says, well, God killed him when I have a natural death. Now, you talked about an embryo that dies a natural death, and I have a hard time with this. And so I'm a little bit nervous even talking to you about it. To me, it seems like God didn't kill that little baby. And I'm never going to go there, and I'm never going to tell a mother who loses a child, God killed your baby, and I don't believe that. And I just want you to think about that. I don't know, maybe you are ready to answer it, and if you feel the need to do that, you can do that. I had some other things, too. There are some other points at which people think that, like life is in the blood. Would you have anything to say that? Or abortion
Leviticus
stops
17.
A beating heart.
Yeah. So there is a book. I read the book. It's some Christian individuals that believe that life does not begin until implantation. Because that's when, so that little egg that's traversing the fallopian tube and makes its way into the uterus, it's not encountering any blood. It's living off of its own nutrients until it implants. And so their argument is that once it implants and then the placenta starts to form, it encounters the mother's blood because it doesn't have its own blood, and that's when life begins. But you know, I've got a slide on that somewhere. I think that's a difficult argument to make because that's not the meaning of Leviticus 17, I don't think. Leviticus 17 isn't saying that that's the only time something is alive. This individual said, verse 14 helps us to clarify what it means, because the life of flesh is in the blood. The blood is the life of all flesh. Its blood sustains its life. And so life is not synonymous with blood. Rather, blood sustains the life of these specific kinds of creatures, because there are things that are alive without blood. Plants, for example, don't have blood. So I don't buy the argument. I don't think that's what Leviticus 17 is saying. I think Leviticus 17 is not teaching that. And I think these fellows have been fairly rejected by the Protestant world in their opinion, because they believe that you can abort, so they would believe in emergency contraception. Because if it's not a life until it implants and then blood, then you can use emergency contraception. You can use an IUD. And they're Christians, but that's what they believe. And they've been roundly rejected because of the analysis of this scripture. The scripture is not teaching that you're only alive when you're exposed to blood, because that's a 46 chromosome individual. that's floating down that fallopian tube, and the beginning divide and beginning, you know, it's doing work. It's doing work as it becomes a larger and a more complex creature. And as far as your comment about God killing people, I probably was too brusque with that statement, but I was just trying to get the point across that it's God that kills. God said it in the Deuteronomy passage. He said, I'm the one that kills, and I'm the one that makes alive. So I think I have the right then to say that. And I would never say that to a woman who just lost a baby, obviously. This is not something that someone who's had a miscarriage should probably be watching. But God says, I kill, and God does kill. And, you know, I think the wages of sin are death.
We'll come back around to you. Alan Bonifay.
Clint, I'm going to ask a question. Great, Bart. I thought you did a great job.
Thank you, brother.
And I would like you to comment on ectopic pregnancies and maybe, if there's time, anencephalic situation also.
Okay. Yeah, that's a real hard one. So the ectopic pregnancy is when the zygote is going down the fallopian tube. For whatever reason, it doesn't make it all the way, and it implants in the tube. That's an ectopic, and it's a surgical emergency. It doesn't take very long before that baby gets large enough that it's about to burst the fallopian tube. The woman starts feeling pain. There are a lot of women that used to die from ruptured ectopic pregnancies. And so it's a surgical emergency. The surgeon rushes you in, and they cut out the zygote, the embryo, out of the fallopian tube. Is that wrong? That's a difficult question because it is a person. But I think for me, it's an issue of the baby is not going to survive anyway. The baby is not going to. The baby will not survive in the fallopian tube. It is going to die, and the woman may die. If, and most likely will die if that baby is not removed. So it's an issue of, you've got maybe a metaphor would be you've got two people drowning and you only have time to save one. You can only save one of the, you'd like to save the baby, but you can't. So again, it's a difficult question. And anencephaly is where babies don't have a brain. They do an ultrasound and the baby doesn't have a brain. And I think the question you're asking about that is it all right to abort? I don't think so. I think you should have a natural, and again, I'm not an OBGYN, but I think abortion is always, that's killing, even if it's an anencephalic baby. Because sometimes doctors are wrong. I know this is shocking, but I do autopsies as a pathologist, and I had a near-term baby that was aborted that the doctors had said had gastroschisis, and which is failure of the abdominal wall to fuse, and then your insides are out, and it's fatal. This particular form, they said, was going to be fatal, and they aborted the baby, and the baby was totally normal. So I just think it's wise to not abort a baby, even if it's one that has terrible congenital abnormalities. But then again, you know, that is, I'm not an OBGYN, but that would be my general thought on the matter.
Awesome.
Excellent job. I've channel surfed enough to notice that there was a slide on in vitro fertilization, and I was hoping you would talk a little bit about that.
Right. In vitro fertilization involves removing the egg from the ovary. So a woman has about 40,000 eggs in her ovary as a young girl, and then there's plenty. They can remove the eggs. And then they can put the eggs and the sperm together, and they can have conception occur. You get a zygote. And then they transfer the zygote, the embryo, back into the uterus, and they hope it implants. They have drugs and medications and so on that increase the chance of the zygote implanting, and then pregnancy occurs. If you're just doing that with one zygote or baby, I don't have any problem with it at all. But the problem is that they remove multiple, generally, and I can't speak for all of these specialists, but generally they remove multiple eggs, they have multiple conceptions, and then they only use a few. And then the others are frozen or discarded. And so from this standpoint of the life beginning at conception, that's a human life, and discarding them is inappropriate. So my opinion would be, if you're going to do in vitro fertilization, you have to tell the doctor you can only do one at a time, which they're probably going to say that won't work. I don't know.
Go to Matt Enos.
Thank you, Bart. Every time I look at my grandbaby, I'm thankful that the doctor was wrong. But a question I have is, when in Psalm 139, when he says, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance; in your book were written every one of them," is that referring to DNA?
Sure. I think that's a great, yeah. You know, the zygote has the DNA, and it's unseen by the human eye. You can take a zygote, and you're not able to see it without a microscope. And so, zygote full of DNA is seen by God, even though a human being. So God knows that is David, or that is Isaiah, or Jeremiah, or you and me, and that's who we are. And so, while a human can't do that, God can.
All right, Roger.
I'm sorry if I offended you, Roger.
I'm not offended. I'm just hurting my heart.
Oh.
Okay.
Let's do one more real quick. This one was requested to be asked by someone who's studying at biology at a university. Some people suggest that cloning, which used to be science fiction and now isn't, challenges the biblical concept of life and procreation. Others say that even if it is unethical, it is actually just a manipulation equivalent to twinning. What do you think?
Oof. Way outside my topic.
Kind of. Not really. The question is, is that a living creature?
I would say that cloning humans is not a wise idea, and not a path we should go down as scientists. It seems it's outside the process of life, and it's certainly, I think it has to be one of the wicked machinations of, and we're headed that way. We're headed to the point where all of these science tools and all really challenge Christianity. And cloning might be one of those ways that they are able to clone organs and make you live longer. And so these are all ethical issues that we're all going to have to think through. But that's a whole other topic.
Any final statement?
For me? Oh. No, I showed my final slide already, which was the coronavirus, so I'm done. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.